I don't. Is that part of the song?
Yeah. Missy Elliott. Reverse.
Oh,
it.
That's Missy Elliott?
Sure. Here oh. I go. Here I go. Here
I'm
I go.
I'm embarrassed again. That I don't know that.
What's my weakness, man?
I was like, I don't really know Mos Def.
You know how he's always singing about men being his weakness.
My friend who's dating a Gen Xer is now playing like...
Oh my God, how is she?
I'm just kidding. Well, she's really into like rap now. And I'm like, that's such a... Is that weird to say that I think that's a Gen X thing?
Like certain hip hop, you know, like 80s and 90s hip hop.
Yeah. It's so, like so early 2000s hip hop, which, and some of that's good. It's just interesting that like whoever she's dating usually, like that informs what music she's playing. I'm just saying.
Couples always influence each other, but I feel like in a very, and I hate to say this, but like in terms of like political opinions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's more often than not the guy that influences his female partner to like... You know, they're
I
like,
think it's because women want shit to work in ways that men don't fully give mind to.
That's funny. Or maybe they just have more leeway to be like, I changed my whole life and point of view for you so that you could win every other argument.
Ooh,
after that.
Okay.
Yeah, we're cutting this for sure.
No, we're not, because you're talking about how couples influence each other. And we're not a couple, but we're. A couple of cousins.
Couple cousins.
And we do influence each other in ways.
Yeah.
I go to you for rationale. You come to me for passion.
Just a good time, baby. Just chaos.
Chaos. Yeah. Volatility.
And that's where this podcast meets the Guantanamo Bay's podcast.
A Cuban cousin Kiki.
It's been a few weeks. We missed y'all. Hope you missed us. I was in Austin the last couple of weeks.
I went to Mexico City for a wedding that felt like the Met Gala, Brian.
Just instantly one-upped me. I'm just like, so I went back home for a couple weeks to have a cute moment with family. And then he's like, so the Met Gala in Mexico City, let me tell you.
I also flew across the country to see the
original... just keeps going.
The original Sondheim... the last musical that Sondheim worked on called Here We Are.
Before, like, as he...
As he died. Right. And the creators that helped him with it were like, no, like, we wouldn't put it up if it wasn't finished. But I will say the second act is very light on music.
Tell that to Harper Lee's family, who told her to put up, go, you know, Kill a Mockingbird. Go Set a Watchman, the sequel that she'd published like right before she died, which was like the unfinished To Kill a Mockingbird sequel.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I'm sorry. What was this equivalent of that?
Well, and sometimes you have artists that have really good later work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not to deprive that, but that was kind of like the dogma of what was happening around that piece and that was also when everyone was like, oh my gosh, Atticus Finch is a racist.
Which, oh, you're see, I don't know anything about it. I'm sorry to this man. I do not know this man.
You're talking about To Kill a Mockingbird?
Yeah, I never read it, Brian. I was about really? To say, I went to school in Texas, but so did you.
Yeah.
But private school, I don't know. I guess they were like, yeah, let's skip that one.
And like, but also like, you know, border town private school. So maybe just like this...
I remember reading The Outsiders.
Yeah, because that's an outsider story. This is a white savior story.
Oh, okay. And so, see, I thought it was that we weren't pro To Kill a Mockingbird, but I guess... I thought we were pro To Kill a Mockingbird, but...
It depends who you ask. It's very tricky. You know, it's layered and...
And reminds me of something else that we absolutely need to talk about, Brian.
Yeah.
Because it'd be weird. I mean, I know we don't consider ourselves geopoliticians. But this is about geopolitics, and a bitch cannot go online without seeing some triggering-ass meme.
Go on.
No, you say it.
No, wait. You're talking about, obviously...
Israel
and Palestine, obviously. That's what...
It's even erasure if you say Israel-Gaza conflict, right? Like, it's so... Even just the label of the conflict gets you in trouble, depending on which one you choose.
That's why I think you can't get in trouble if you just say the names of the countries. But then they're like...
But some people are like, there is no Palestine.
Exactly. Or there's no Israel. So
well, yeah. I don't know if the other side's saying that. It's more like, we don't want there to be Israel.
No, both sides are saying there's... Yeah. Yeah. Because they reject the idea of Zionism. So they're right. Like, there is no Israel, you know. It's what some people say. Is what I'm saying. That they're saying. I'm only quoting. I'm just looking at the text. Yep, there it is.
And we will get into Cuba, because that's always what we're here to talk about.
We're at least trying to make it about Cuba, but the world is just like, fuck Cuba. We got some major news coming at you.
I knew if I gave you a little blue Hawaiian.
What?
that you'd be a little more eager to talk about Israel-Palestine.
Do I seem eager?
You were, no, but you... No, well, I suppose not. But at first you were just downright like, I really don't want to spend time on it. And I'm like, yeah. Well, Brian, like...
Well, fucking open up that can of worms. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, for me, my only point of engagement with it is through social media. Uh-huh. Which is why I don't think people should necessarily post about it if they're not, like, A, public figures, B, policymakers. Well, I guess policymakers shouldn't post about it either, you know? But I don't know. It's just, like, it doesn't... I don't think it helps anything. And I think there's, like, a larger question to that of whether it does. Like, some of our far leftist friends, like, friend of the pod, Jordan David, was like, why aren't you posting more about this? And I'm like, homie, like, this is awful. I agree. It's awful.
Part of my rationale is also...
There are good people on both sides. He's like, oh my God.
No, I'm not even going to, you know, the use both, that both, triggering both rhetoric. Side-ism. Yeah.
I'm so quick to both sides.
The whataboutism too, whenever it comes time to like do the tally of who's done the worst stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry. What was the thing you said right before?
Like, should we do... Is there the moral imperative to post on Instagram, which is a private company? So I'm like, what's the point of it anyway?
My big thing is, who wants to hear from me, and what do I have to say about it?
Brian, we could work on that.
No, but I mean, it's everywhere. Everyone has something to say about it. I don't see any of these things solving the problems. And look, not all political posting is created equal. Some people are better political posters than others. It's actually somewhat of a skill.
Is it fucked up if I just don't think it's on brand for me? I'm like, I don't think people go to my Instagram for... information.
You can, and that's always my cop out, you know, so we could always, to what degree is that a cop out or not? But I'm also like,
we're also in like a potentially, no, I don't know.
You're gonna say,
like an industry that isn't not Zionist.
Right. Or, you know? An industry that has like a very clear allegiance to this conflict. Like,
yeah. Okay.
For the most
great
part.
Great diplomatic way to put that, where I wouldn't get jobs taken away.
I got you, cuz.
Okay, don't thanks. It is a delicate dance.
But it's stressful because this is a literal minefield. I mean, you know, there's literal minefields everywhere in this situation.
Yeah.
So. That's why I was like, who wants
to
hear from
me? You gotta laugh to keep from crying.
Yeah.
And also, I just avoid those videos and stuff. And again, I don't think it's my moral imperative to see it. Kind of my line, and this is fucked up and it is kind of tribal, but I'm like, if they're coming for like cis gay men on the streets of Hollywood, then I'll show up. You know what I mean?
This is the classic, first they came for the gypsies and I was not a gypsy, so I said nothing.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, something like that.
I love that.
And then
this term that's like no longer accurate, like that's how that expression starts.
And it's the most woke poem of all time.
That's
because
so funny.
It's literally like
bring back gypsies.
Like as people, you know.
Esmeralda was stunning.
She was. We just love the gypsy aesthetic, don't we?
Like,
but the gypsy
literally
people.
All I think of when I hear that word is Esmeralda or one of those vans from like the Wolfman. What are those called? Mm. That they had in like old times.
Like
a fortune teller was inside like a caravan.
Yeah.
And that's probably super racist to say because I know. But again, I didn't grow up with gypsies. The same way I didn't grow up with Palestinians or... And another reason why I don't want to post is because maybe a few of my Israeli friends... are Zionists, and maybe they don't want to be offended either.
Well, we don't want to lose friendships.
I don't want to lose friendships, and it's the same reason I forged a friendship with our cousin after all the BLM stuff, and he was like, we fought over like whether people should be looting and everything. Mm-hmm. And then I walked up to him during Thanksgiving, and I was like, dude, like we're family before we're like whatever respective political ideology we can ascribe to.
And of course, all it took was y'all seeing each other in person.
Yeah.
And here we are, killing each other without seeing each other.
Yeah, warfare's become pretty impersonal.
There was an article, it was a long time ago, but it was about how the impersonal nature of warfare and how it's evolved makes it more tasteless in a way, because it made sense to war tribe to tribe, land disputes, family disputes, etc. But
because there were bodies on the line, at least from the perpetrators.
There was mutual skin in the game.
Yeah.
When it just becomes about sending drones half a world away and just the taxes that we pay go towards that. And you have no say in what they do.
That, for me, is so bothersome, Brian, that our taxes go to, like, bombing hospitals in Gaza.
Obviously. I mean, it's the most disturbing
It makes me want to move. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of shit that makes me want to move. Oh, Brian. I mean, Mexico. I don't know what else to tell you. They just legalized gay marriage. My friend Clara loves Monterrey. Tulum looks fun.
You'll be one of those kids that is written about how all the Mexican population wants them out of there because they're sick of people moving to Mexico. So
I know. I'd be that bitch.
Your existence is evil. Congratulations.
Fuck. I've thought about this too.
Of course. Of course.
Because we are ultimately just consumers and, like, funders of war. And, like,
I mean,
even though I'm not an antinatalist, I think people should keep having babies despite being implicit in these huge systems of oppression and genocide.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's got to be a way to transcend. And I don't think it's through Instagram.
I think that's the point here.
I mean, it's certainly not through social media. And don't come for me if I don't do it. Because, like, that, let that be your thing. That doesn't have to be my thing.
Yeah.
And I gave money. I will just toot my own horn for a second.
Yeah.
To medical aid for Palestinians. Oh, I just sent you the screenshot. What am I talking about?
Yeah.
like send it to like six of my closest friends. Just like, I'm just like, you know, like I'm involved. Because again, that for me is a more direct line of action.
That's what I do. Yeah, definitely speak with my wallet when it comes to that. So
I give it to darling. Me. I mean, it's so much easier than picketing. Or whatever, you know.
Well, I mean, also,
what, I'm not going to go see movies.
You know, there's indexes that tell you what charities are more above board than others. And you know, I from friends in the know, and if multiple friends, even though it can become its own like echo chamber in a way, but if multiple friends are kind of like funneling you towards certain charities that make sense, then I'm like, okay, you know, that's like multiple confirmations that like this is a good place to.
I see.
But it could also be that separate thing of like. No, that's propaganda. This propaganda is good. Of not in terms of like the charities, but like for instance, crazy parallel. But like you said that Fran Drescher, when she was voted as SAG president, was like she can be bought or she can be swayed or she can be influenced.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out she was kind of the right leader so far.
Well, only because she's such a public person,
right?
That it just brings more awareness.
She is a wartime president.
Are wartime presidents historically more public?
They're more certainly like unilateral or just like singular, like everyone fall in line. Mm-hmm. Like that's where you use like,
I see
emergency powers.
Right. They engender patriotism.
Yeah.
I see.
And so my take, and this isn't.
But also we're still striking and WGA was fine. But also I think background actors are more dispensable than writers.
Sure.
So that's just a harder negotiation because they're like, nah, we could really do this with a computer though.
But this also does bring me just, you know, rarely am I ever going to bring it back to Israel-Palestine.
Okay.
But what I kind of thought from Jump Street, and now there's been intelligence that suggested this.
This was a plotline on 21 Jump Street?
No. Like when something happens from Jump Street, it's like from the start.
Shut up.
Welcome to...
Wait, so then what does 21 Jump Street mean? That they're 21 and then all this... No, because they're in high school.
It was like the name of the... It was the name of the division. It was the Jump Street division.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And maybe they were 21. I don't know why I was...
Called. I don't think so. I think they're in high school. Anyway.
No, they were posing as high schoolers. They were young-looking cops. Welcome to the 90s.
Okay. 80s.
80s. Didn't it go into the late or early 90s, though?
Probably.
Okay. All right.
But I feel like it started in like 85 or 86.
Probably.
My sister Laurie, proud Gen X friend of mine, Laurie, who doesn't listen to gangster rap. It's okay if she did, but she doesn't. That's not her aesthetic. Would know the answers to all these
questions. And we still celebrate her regardless.
Absolutely. Yeah, again, 100%. She could have different ideologies than me and stuff. If the family, the family.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the whole line with this whole Israel Gaza thing, Israel-Palestine thing. It's like, no, I'm looking out for my family. And again, I'm thankful enough that I don't need to know the necessity of violent revolution. Cause, yes. And that was why I was like, guys, I don't know, like Hamas also, like, well, I guess no one was saying it at the time, but I was like, Hamas, what, like, that was scary. That was fucked up. And, like, I don't like the idea of a massacre, no matter what, no matter what the score is.
Uh-huh.
Where was I going with this?
Well, so if I could say, go back to the point that I was trying to make.
I'm sorry.
About a minute or two ago.
Go.
But what I thought from Jump Street, which means like kind of from the beginning,
from 21 Jump
and there's
Street.
Some intelligence that started suggesting this, that Netanyahu, and this isn't anti-Israel, anti-Jewish or anything, but specifically anti-Netanyahu, who is the personification of hard right Zionism and violent military was that Israel intelligence is too good to allow them to be like invaded by bulldozers. We knew that we had intelligence as a country to prevent 9/11, do a whole lot more about it, bare minimum. You know, that's the best case.
But then we used it as a means for launching a war on Iraq is what you're getting.
And that's exactly Netanyahu's
goal. I saw it immediately. I was like, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And hundreds of children will be bombed because of this fucking attack that they, quote, didn't know was coming.
Right, right. And of course, blame Hamas for, you know, the violence. And sometimes when you're too far gone, you're too far gone. Nothing can justify killing, you know, innocents, unfortunately.
I'm just thinking of, like, informants, but there is Israeli-Iranian informants. Yeah. How sexy would that informant be?
Really sexy.
Fucked up. Blood on their hands.
That's a honeypot. Yeah. That's what the honeypot is made for.
Because they're trapping. They're entrapping.
Yeah, yeah. They'll fuck you and then kill you immediately afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, the meme I was telling you about before we were recording is this woman, like, I'll just show it to you right now.
Okay.
But it's like a woman that takes, it's like an illustration of a woman taking a photo of herself and then posting it. And it's like, stop war with like the broken heart and the dove and stuff. And then it's like an illustration of all these soldiers like seeing the post and then holding hands and running through a field. Like that's how I feel about fucking social media posting.
Yeah, that's what I do as well. Like, That's why I don't post. That's why I guess I'd sooner
donate. Yeah, is silence not violence if you're just not helping a company's bottom line?
Or, you know,
because that's what posting on Facebook and Instagram and shit does.
And it's to say that I'm not learning and absorbing, and I could use that information to inform what I'm going to do, you know, in my upcoming whatever decisions I have to make in the future.
Exactly.
Political or otherwise.
Exactly. So. I could be posting pro-Gaza, pro-Palestine stuff all the time and secretly be staunchly pro-Israel. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, what does that even mean?
And it was a very, like, militant sect of the Jewish people that, with the backing of Western powers, that formed Israel. Like, people know this.
I barely know it. That's another reason why I don't want to talk about it. Or, like, I clearly do want to talk about it, but, like, that's why I don't think I'm informed about it.
So,
my friend Alex Steinfeld, shout out to him.
Yeah.
Jewish buddy from NYU. We lived together. And he once, for like 2 hours, Brian, explained to me the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Yeah.
But he's Jewish, so like there was still, and he's been on Birthright and stuff. So I'm sure there was like a center, right of center slant.
Yeah, of course.
But God bless him for explaining it to me, and fuck me for not retaining any of it.
No, it's okay. It's okay. But at the same time, you're talking about a group of people that have been systematically genocided for 5,000 years or so.
Yes.
So, and they were apparently
part of Egypt, and they said no. And again, it's because they feel both entitled to this parcel of land.
And when you have Western influence to make that happen, it becomes a lot easier. And so, yeah, you feel entitled. Why wouldn't you? You've been facing...
You're talking about Israel. Right, right.
Right, right. And why wouldn't you? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy of if the roles were reversed, and, you know, 80 years ago, you would have celebrated... This is what anti-colonialism looks like whenever Israel took what was rightfully theirs, you know, their ancestral lands. You would have celebrated Mossad, you know, assassinating Nazis in South America, which they did. You would have said, and you would have, that would have been your Palestine flag was the Israeli flag. And then you live long enough to see yourself become the villain in terms of, you know, you're the oppressor. You have all, and you've shown...
What goes around comes around.
To some degree, some like military. You've shown military restraint to some degree because could you nuke them into oblivion? Yes, you could, but you haven't. Even if they've like quote unquote attacked you and you've had a, you know, 100-1 to, you know, whatever the ratio is, kind of like death rate in your skirmishes. So, self fulfilling prophecy.
Have you been to Israel and? Or seen Gaza or anything like that?
No.
No. Me neither.
I'm going to Egypt in 2 weeks.
Oh, shit, Brian. My mom actually asked. She was like, is Brian going to Egypt? I was like, he hasn't mentioned it, but I think so. I didn't realize it was that soon. Mm-hmm. I think Egypt will be fine because they are obviously staying out of it.
Yeah,
which I get.
They forfeited their rights to Gaza, you know, 40 years ago or so.
Oh, that recently. Was that the Camp David shit?
I forget.
The Camp David Accords?
I think so, probably. I don't know.
Yeah. Camp David is camp. Because that's the only, like, session of Camp David I know of is with Yasser Arafat and Jimmy Carter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went to Camp David as a kid.
You did?
I went to I went to Jewish preschool and Camp David.
I'm telling you, right? You were, like, kind of Jewish.
Yeah, but I'm not.
But you are somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. Although am I. And we're Palestinian.
But you need to observe the traditions.
The Mehel side.
Yeah.
Lebanese, and I think from that...
But weren't they Christians in Lebanon?
Oh, is that why they left?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. The Christians were in the Middle East. Ah.
I was like, how cool that we're Muslim. It's like, no, we're not, bitch. Well, okay, so let's actually bring this to Cuba.
Go ahead.
I don't know how Cuba feels about it. We've both had busy, busy weeks because we're busy, busy beavers. But what I think I know where Cuba would stand, but this is mere speculation, they'd obviously be pro-Palestine.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Because Israel and the U.S. are practically the same army.
Right, right. So that always seems to be... There's always, like, multitudes within this, but there's always, like, kind of your big picture stance. Or, like, maybe your public stance and then your private stance. So, privately, I don't think Cuba's private sector is going to stop working with the U.S. anytime soon.
No, not at all.
Should
they.
Once again, is the U.S. going to have a fun little coup moment? You know, who knows? And it happens to the private sector.
Yeah, keep reminding me of that because I'm like, open it up! Cutting the ribbon with a big pair of scissors. While Buena Vista Social Club plays, it's like, who's this fucking guy?
But right now, the private sector there is so, like, knee-capped that, you know, it'd take un grande revolución para
Great cambiar Spanish, eso. Brian.
Yeah.
Estoy nervioso a hablar español porque a veces no sé si... I don't know. I'm like, we'd lose so much cred.
Pero cuando no recuerdo algunas palabras, están...
You just do a little dance.
Yeah, exactly.
Beauregard, yeah. Your stripping alias comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
Your go-go boy alias.
Or like, I'll just like sit there for silence in 5 seconds and then like remember it. Or, you know, I'll just like ask for help from whoever I'm speaking to.
You're also pretty cavalier about making up Spanish words.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah.
Which is great.
I inject Spanglish because they will know what I'm talking about for the most
part.
Generally. Or when I come to it, I'll just say the English word and they'll be like, oh yeah, I know that word.
Yeah. Should we look up how Cuba feels about this whole thing?
Just literally straight up, how does Cuba feel about
Cuba stance, Israel, Palestine.
So that's the
and
thing.
And then we could pivot to all of our bullshit segments that are more fun and popcorn.
Okay, great.
I don't mean to call them bullshit. It's honestly the part I enjoy way more than talking about geopolitics.
Thanks for sticking with us, everyone. We hope you had a wonderful few weeks. We're just figuring out what Cuba thinks
okay,
about
we
Israel,
love this
Palestine.
Stance. Grandma.cu. Okay, we love a Cuban domain. We almost never... I feel like JVN right now. I'm like, go off dude. Cuban domain. Yes, who gave her permission?
Oh my God, Cuba took the stance that everyone's getting shit on for, which is like, guys, we want peace.
Which is my fucking stance.
I know, but this is one of those conflicts I learned that if you want peace... Everyone fucking hates you. You need to advocate for total extermination.
I know, like the far leftists again in our circle are like, from the river to the sea. And I'm like, wait, you want to like erase Israel too? Like, no.
It's funny. It's like everyone's always like, two-state solution with an emphasis on human rights, blah.
Well, and we arrive at this strange paradox where it's like, to avoid people getting killed, we have to kill our own and each other. And it's like... What?
I know.
Ugh, I don't know.
Talk about manufactured, you know, war.
So, like, go off Cuba, Zen master over here.
Yeah.
For negotiating that, or, like, negotiating that, for wanting that to be negotiated.
Yeah. You know what? We fucking are Cuban. Because we're both,
I'm like ¿por qué no la paz?
Exactly.
That's
Cuba's literally like, ¿por qué no la paz? Yeah. Hey, we got it. Episode title, coming at you hot.
I know, Brian was like, don't pitch episode titles while we're recording. But yeah. If I don't pitch it in the moment, I fucking forget.
I know. It's good.
Also, look at me. How cute is this little vape?
Yeah. It's funny because
I vape now instead of smoke cigarettes.
Okay, yay.
I think that's better.
Probably.
Yeah, way less combustible.
Good. And also, you're...
Unlike Israel and Gaza right Jesus. Now. My life is way less
The
combustible.
Only joke I made about it in stand-up was when I was... Especially, like, I got back from L.A. And I was like, I was Austin the last 2 weeks. And turns out, while I was gone, everyone became experts on Middle Eastern geopolitics.
Dude, I'm over it. Like, go like, back to posting your stupid AI selfies.
I was like, I know that we have a bunch of experts on vaccines in here. And then I literally made the joke that posting your opinion on Israel Gaza is like posting your AI selfie. Like, you think it makes
sense. Oh, yeah. Cool, you told me that. And yeah. I was like, totally.
That's so funny.
And also, it's just data for these private companies to mine information from. Like, it's the same fucking shit.
Another episode, sis. Another episode.
We don't have time. Things somewhere else. Somewhere happy. Somewhere where Israel and Palestine coexist. A world according to me.
A world according to Jules.
That's the kind of world I want to live in.
Because this is where I read Julian a headline.
Also, in the world according to Jules, I turn on this fucking AC. It is hot as hell in here.
Pause for room audio.
I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, I will. I'm pulling up the dang old headlines. This is where I read Julian a headline, and he gives me his completely unfiltered take on it. Do you accept this mission, Julian?
Yeah.
Juji, Juliancito. Okay. Your first headline, man fakes heart attack to avoid paying the bill at 20 restaurants. Your thoughts?
Fucking brilliant, Brian. I just spent like $80, not 80, but like $65 on a tank of gas. Like, I wonder where this happened.
Lithuania.
Oh, in Lithuania. Times is hard everywhere. Well, no, but it shows that here you probably wouldn't get away with it. Like, how much public surveillance do they have in Lithuania? All I'm saying is I want to move to Mexico and try this shit, where the weather's a little more agreeable, where you don't have the shadow of the Soviet Union hanging over you. I'm sure Lithuania's a great place. He looks well-fed in the photo. I'm well-fed too, but guess what, bitch? I'm the one, it comes out of my wallet. So I would like to do this. I respect this man. I'm sorry he got caught.
Are you afraid
I know the local Cheddars isn't technically the man, but like, take one back.
Are you afraid that now he got caught, it'll make it harder for you to do this?
No, I think the U.S., the party's over.
just the target.
I told videos. You already about that prisoner that went on the lam, and they've had a heat-streaking drone find him in a forest. I was like, we're done.
No, and yet,
goodbye, Woodstock.
But that was also a convicted criminal. You know, he's still a person. But also, at the same time, while that's happening, you know, heat-seeking drones. But
I just
want
to know I'm in a place
still,
where
there's still
I
also,
just
like, the mass, like, kind of looting that all companies and everyone's, like, kind of letting everyone get away with right now.
That's true. You know? So, that is kind of communistic.
When you said the party's over, but now they're just going to close those stores. So now, who knows what they're going to loot now? Like, each other? Like
They close the store?
Like, that's kind of target strategy, is that they're letting everyone get away with everything right now.
Yeah, turn off your phone.
I thought it was turned off, my bad. But then they're closing a bunch of stores kind of like in response to all the looting. So now they won't have a target to loot, you know. So that's
my time.
That's your time. Yeah, good job. Good job. Good headline. Good Chavez. Your next headline.
And the alternative.
Which I'm sorry.
Palestinian Shabbos is.
I know. We do use a lot of Jewishisms sometimes here and there. We need to learn the
I think Yiddish is like a fantastic language.
It is.
Today, actually, someone sent a video of me reading at a Passover Seder. I was like reading from the Torah. And this is when it caught fire. My friend caught fire. Or my menu caught fire.
Oh.
And I'd been joking.
Well, I thought you were like, I was like, on TikTok? Like, my friend caught fire. No. And then when you're like, my menu caught fire.
I literally, like, the thing I was holding caught fire.
Jesus.
Or no, Julian. Now I remember. Her menu caught fire. And as I'm patting it out, I roll back in my chair and then, like, spring back up on my feet. Some friend was like, that was so acrobatic. But I was joking on my way over to this Passover Seder. That I was, because I was reading up on Passover Seders.
Sure.
You're apparently ritually, quote, impure if you are uncircumcised. And so I was like, you know, Hashem's going to get me. I made that joke on the way to this fucking dinner.
Oh, Joe.
And this thing caught fire.
So.
But anyway, someone sent a video of me reading.
So it is the true religion, is what you're saying.
Bitch. But. but someone sent me the video of me reading from the Torah. Sadly, they did not get the video of the fire. But I was described as a mensch by my Jewish friend when she sent
that
video.
You are a mensch.
That's so... I love going back to like Yiddish and stuff. Yeah. Calling me a mensch, Like, being called dementia is my love language.
Especially from a Jewish person, which I don't know many non-Jews who don't say
that. Yeah, yeah, but it's such a warm word to me that, like, like, you're not Jewish. Not, you know, I'm
not,
on
not
paper.
Like, culture, yeah.
Yeah. not only in your blood. Yeah, yeah. No big deal.
Only out of the That's even my genetics are like, let's stay out of this conflict. But we have a friend, the Millstones, Jewish couple that we travel with a lot, and the husband, Jeff, who's a super sweet guy, and he whenever he refers to me as a mensch, I'm just like, Jeffrey Millstone. You know how to charm a
flowers for me?
Yeah.
Well, I do declare, Mr. Millstone.
Yeah. You ready for your next headline?
I am.
All right, all right. You know what? Some people might say this is a sad headline. I say it's a happy one. A 104-year-old woman passed away before Guinness can confirm her record as the oldest skydiver. You might have seen a video on the internet about a week ago of this lady becoming the oldest person to skydive. Guinness was coming to confirm it within a week, but she passed away.
But don't they have video evidence of her doing it at that age?
But to kind of verify, you know, her birth certificate and stuff like that.
Well, they could still do that with the kids and
I
stuff.
I think they can. I think, let's see. I don't know what the conclusion of this is going
to
be.
But you want me to wax philosophical on it. Start
That's
the
point of the goddamn Start the fucking segment.
This is funny because in my mind, I'm like, these are facts.
That's the point, Julian. Give us your goddamn opinion. Dance.
I, too, have been Icarus. I, too, have skydived days before dying. Okay? And as high as you felt in that moment, when you hit that ground with a thud, it is piercing. Mm. And yet, I would never regret the skydive days before I died. Take my liberty, Brian. Also apropos for Israel Gaza. No. Or take my death? No, my life. Or else let me live forever. It's like, wait, what? Stop the timer. I don't know. That was so...
No,
drop this kid in the sandbox. He starts making lumpy-looking castles.
And you gotta pretend like, oh, that's so nice, Julian.
Yeah. Also, I'd never skydive. Well, maybe I would.
Yeah.
But I don't know, dude.
I'm not looking to go anytime soon.
Gravity is not my favorite physical law.
Yeah, no. It's among the scariest ones, to be honest. Because it's the most inevitable.
And going back to my body dysmorphia, I'd be light as a feather if it wasn't for that bitch gravity. Gravity's such a bitch.
My mom did go skydiving at 62.
You know. But gravity also creates universes. What were you going to say? Oh, your mom wants to go skydiving?
No, she did go skydiving. When she
at
was 62. Yeah.
I mean, your mom's a Leo. She's a very fiery, tempestuous woman.
She sure is.
But she's very, I don't know. I don't know her day to day, but she seems pretty rational. Like, I don't think she'd ever get like volatilely angry with you.
Not these days.
His breath catches in his throat.
She's relaxed with age.
Yeah. It's cute that our moms always make a feature in our episodes. That's how you know we're Cuban.
I know. It's impossible for us to not, like, bring up with, like, how are they doing?
I know, totally.
Yeah, I just got a lot of her. We had a great time. Austin was a lot of fun. I saw Poppy.
Oh, nice.
95 years old.
Nice.
Turning 95 years old.
Yeah. I don't know if in the world, according to Jules, there'd be an Austin. It's like, wait,
Julian!
Now I'm the Israel to your Palestine.
Yeah, you really are.
I'm like, Austin shouldn't exist in the world, according to Jules.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I love barbecue.
It's a false state. I'm like, damn it, Julian.
False state. She thinks she's a state. But bitch, you a city. And you are no San Antonio. Those are
Julian,
words.
Why?
But although I hope you appreciated that I was upset that Lana wore OU merch.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, dude,
that
come on, you
were
just,
pissed me off.
That really pissed me off.
But the Longhorns is a Texas team, not an Austin team.
Right. Okay, so
That's why I'm not an Aggie.
But
like
it is.
Aggies are College Station, honey.
Well, they are, but also Aggies are like, "Oh, we're more like the conservative brand, you know, we're the conservative team." And Texas, the UT is kind of like the more liberal, you know, hippie type, like, you know, football fans.
Did you know Bernie Taupin's daughter? I shouldn't have specified which child. One of his children goes to A&M. Bernie Taupin, who helps Elton John write songs. I'm like, that's what you did with your life? Is
so
like have kids that... Like,
she must want to be really into like agriculture or something like
that. Yeah,
they
have like cows and like she's into like rodeoing and shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great school for that. It's a great school for that. And it's kind of cool that a rich kid would want to go to A&M. Like
as now much... I'm seeing so many parallels between, like, I am so Israel in so many cases, but I'm like, I don't like him. I don't know about Ekis. I like, it's just something about him, you know?
But also maybe I'm closer to the side of the family that are also Aggies.
Really? So who's an Aggie?
Poppy's side of the family, you know, like Liz, because they're in
Victoria, Texas.
Around there.
Fine, Brian. So, you could be Switzerland again.
No, I'm very pro-UT. Look. I'm a peaceful Israel.
Are you
Israel.
A Zionist or not, motherfucker?
I'm a peaceful Israel looking for a two-state solution is all I'm saying. But UT is about to go on the same conference as A&M again. And so it is going to be a land dispute again, unfortunately. So it's going to get bloody.
That's cool. I bet you don't mean literally. But
I mean, football's a dangerous game. But not
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Anyway, now that you're talking about sports, we might as well shift to your modality.
Which
I don't
is...
know if I'm using that word right.
Boogie boogie bum bum. Boogie 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 bum bum.
So I don't know. So this is the segment where I read Brian a headline and then it makes him think of a song. I decided to bring up this Ashton Kutcher headline.
Mm.
Did you see he was the board?
Chairman of the board. I did. When he was telling everyone how amazing he was?
Yes.
Yes.
There were a lot of like pieces on him in 2017 when he launched this organization.
There sure were.
Demi Moore.
Yeah.
But he was the chairman of the board of this anti-child sex abuse organization.
Yeah.
What song is this making? the mission was always... And so he stepped down, actually.
I did not know this happened, though. But of course, the letter with I just want to call him Hyde, Danny Masterson,
mm-hmm.
the letter involved. So obviously, him and Mila have gotten a lot of bad PR lately.
Yes. And there was this think piece, I don't know if you could call it, well, no, it was the think piece on thecut.com that pretty much talked about how it talked to specific, I was going to say sex workers, but not necessarily, people that were trafficked.
Mm.
I suppose, yeah, sex workers. Although sex work kind of implies that it's...
Okay, but, you know,
I
consensual.
Mean, in the contemporary context, I think sex work implies consent.
Yeah.
So I guess I won't use that term. Sure. But they were talking to people that had been trafficked that Ashton's...
Worked with.
That like, Ashton's like company had did. Worked with.
And he was, like, hitting on them or something?
And they talk about how a lot of it is just getting their names into databases and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And essentially, like, boosting the security apparatus around them, so the means of it could be used for ends that aren't directly correlative to a sex worker's. I'm sorry to someone
who's been trafficked.
Yes. It doesn't necessarily correlate to like them finding peace or safety.
Which sounds extremely technocratic, which also aligns with Ashton Kutcher being like a venture capitalist.
Totally.
And so it's just funny. He's probably got like paid per quote unquote victim and per like registry. And...
I saw him at the Chateau Marmont.
Oh, wow. Well, then never mind.
No. He averted his eyes. He didn't look at me once.
Wow.
Sign
Never
off.
Mind. Well, then he's a criminal.
No, whatever, though. He's got what my casting director calls the beer factor. It's like if you want to have a beer with him afterward.
Right,
he
right.
totally has that.
I think he's just, like, often asked to punch above his weight and maybe thinks he can punch above his weight.
I don't think he's asked to. I think he volunteered for the position.
No, that's
I think
that's
people were like, Ashton,
true.
Please, you're cute. I see your hand up. What's up? He's like, why don't I start a company?
What if I ran the place? Like, how freaking crazy would that be? Like, hold on. Keep that thought. We fucking got him.
Yeah. Yeah, all the sharks are like, he's cute.
Yeah. Which is a quality I look for when I'm trying to protect people who have been trafficked.
Totally.
Jesus Christ.
He's aging quite well. He looks like...
Yeah, of course.
He looks
I mean,
good.
Most wealthy people do.
And I think he'll come out of this unscathed. I think he's got a long career ahead of him. He'll probably go back to acting.
He was agent. I think he's doing fine.
Exactly.
He's resting up
exactly.
for his next project. Him and Mila. Just
anti-trafficking is already fixed, so... Anti-trafficking is already fixed.
They fixed the algorithms. Everyone's super safe now. Don't worry about it. Hey, Christ.
We heard Marvel was looking for an Uncle Ben. He plays Uncle Ben with like the Scorsese like aging technology. Yeah. It's like, why don't they just get fucking John
Any
Lithgow
actor.
And call it a day?
Oh, man.
I guess John Lithgow's already played Uncle Ben.
No, he hasn't.
No, well, you would know. I don't watch that shit. I don't watch that satanic, Jules, okay. That satanic pro-militant garbage. Talk about Israel. Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
I bet there's a direct line between Marvel movies and Israel.
You are shockingly...
With the IDF.
You're shockingly Zionist for someone who doesn't watch Marvel movies.
In what way?
Like, there's so much overlap. If you've seen a Marvel film, then you're pro-Israel.
Oh, I see.
Show me otherwise.
I've never sat through.
You're pro-Israel without.
The only Supermans I saw were not even the Sony ones. Who did the bad ones with Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst? The Sam Raimi ones. What
Sony.
Studio was that? Was that Sony? Yeah. Well, Columbia at the time.
So, what song does this make you think of, Jules? Because there's a lot to unpack here.
Fuck you. I don't know for once. Let me look.
Okay. I know. I know what it does for me.
Okay, fuck it. I see one that could work. Oh, nice. Why?
So, I think this is a song about just balling out in general and kind of a general disregard for any structure that people say should exist in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Ashton Kutcher truly lives his life in that regard. And kind of, and also there's a money component because all I want to do is boom, 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 and a cha-ching, take your money.
You think that's what he's kind of scripting through this? I think he wanted
I think there's no way he's not benefiting financially.
Oh, of
in
course.
Some fashion.
Of course. And but I think what drew him to him is just like the pedigree of like having like a quote NGO or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh my God, I could be Angelina Jolie.
And I could write it off my taxes by having dinners with people.
How fun is that? How fun is that for them? Sound off in the comments.
God damn it. Go on. This is a Bad Bunny song that just came out called Nadie Sabe. That's not what it is.
Nah, I was like, this doesn't sound like Bad Bunny. Six and a half minutes song.
It's been a while since I've seen my therapist, he just said. But he's talking about how, like, his haters could suck a dick and, like, no one knows what he's going through. And, like, frankly, again, I'm an empath. Like, you don't know what Sean...
Ashton Kutcher.
Sean William Scott was in...
I do feel for him for some reason. I feel an empath.
Where is he?
Exactly.
He opted out of the game quite wisely.
I think so.
But, yeah, we don't know...
I was next to in a movie with him, and he was super cool.
I don't know. We joke about Ashton's intentions and stuff, but I don't know. And I'm sure right now it's fucking humiliating to have to sign off. Like...
Yeah.
I bet more than anything, they really regret that apology video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they should have.
Also, their house on Architectural Digest is
especially
tragic, girl.
Tragic.
It's so
ugly. It's all falling apart for them, isn't it?
Well, it's just like
modern. The Danny Masterson letter.
No, the house is...
The house.
The house is not falling apart. It's new and it's
I know,
heinous.
But
it's like modern barn that you see. Modern, you know, barn house. You know what I mean? It's like black steel with like silver trim on like these really basic... Vertically rectangular.
It's like,
windows.
Cool, you built a house from 10 years ago. How fun.
It's just so industrial. I'm like, why is this in Holmby Hills?
Yeah.
Like, give me Spanish.
Yeah. Every time. You choose Spanish 100 times out of 100.
I love deco too, but you don't. But deco houses are a little trickier. Mm-hmm. But I love like a corporate office that's deco.
Yeah. It's deco's made for corporate.
Totally.
Yeah. work in deco, live in Spanish. There's your design notes for life. No, you don't
work
need
deco, live Spanish.
That's a good gay shirt.
Work Palestinian, live Israeli. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, so you always have these ideas for like great cheeky gay shirts, essentially.
Yes,
that would be a fun one, right? Work deco, live Spanish.
Oh my God, that's so good. Although I think Spanish people would be like, what? Because it's also like an ethnicity.
Sure.
So it'd have to be like.
But how fun would that be? Still, Latinos would eat that up, and then you could do work deco, do something else. That, well, and the company could be called.
I'm like, the Latinos I know don't give a fuck about deco.
Okay. The company, it'd be very specific.
Even the Palm Beach, very Cuban enclave, those pastel deco buildings are gorgeous.
But Jules, the company's called Work Deco. That's the brand, Work Deco. And then live everything else. Live your life.
Spanish.
Spanish could be one of them.
Compasión.
It could be a bunch of other stuff too.
Well, now, Eureka. Now,
this is what I'm saying.
Eureka.
And this is probably a good segue to...
The gay item of the week.
It's been a few weeks. It's the gay item of the week.
Yes.
Where, when this podcast was in its infancy, I'd asked Julian to bring me a gay item, as in a news item. What's happening in the queer world that we could learn about? And he thought I meant like a literal physical item, like a vase or something of that nature. So now he brings me both. He brings a gay physical item and a gay news item. What's on the docket this week, Jules?
So the gay physical item is actually an excerpt from... Well, this actually isn't an excerpt, but there was this really good... Okay, the gay item of the week is this article entitled The Fudge King, featured on Atavist Magazine. The gay item of the week, physical item of the week, is The Fudge King on Atavist Magazine. And it tells the story of how this well-to-do fudge maker in Atlantic City or around there, like coastal New Jersey, was offed one night. Mm. And after being offed multiple... I mean, he had these weird sort of affairs with certain people that were... I don't know. They don't know the extent of the affairs, but like he's been linked to like police officers and things like that. One night he was found dead. Mm. But also, while I read this to you, please enjoy an ancillary gay physical item.
Which is this flower.
This flower from your courtyard.
Thank you. It smells very nice.
It's so good. I don't know what those flowers are called, but they're great.
Me neither. Danny wouldn't know. My neighbor.
But two of the people that are involved in this story were part of an extortion ring known to the police as the Chickens and the Bulls. Have you heard of this?
No.
The Chickens and the Bulls were a group that was actually outside of law enforcement, and they would, quote, fairy shake.
What year was this?
This was from, like, the 40s to the 60s.
Okay.
Back when there were all the vice laws and everything. Right. But essentially, they were honeypots. Well, the chicken... So the chicken was the honeypot. Mm-hmm. The chicken was the hot dude that would lure in these gay men, mm-hmm. and then... just at the point of intercourse or whatever, once they're in a compromising position, the bull, a.k.a., you know, the heat, would rush in and apprehend the gay guy. And then they'd book the gay guy.
Wow.
And I'm sure there was money to be had somehow.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But yeah, the chicken and the bull. Yeah, so they target a gay mark, send in a chicken to lure the target to a hotel room. Soon after, a bull would bust into the room. And sometimes the bull would pretend to be a cop. They'd flash a badge and handcuffs and demand money. Which is all to say that eventually law enforcement was not down. And by the mid-1960s, started prosecuting the chickens and bulls. In no small part because cops didn't appreciate being impersonated.
Damn.
So began what the FBI referred to as Operation Homex, a coordinated effort to take down the chicken and the bulls. And interestingly, this represents an important crux, marking the first time that law enforcement actually worked on behalf of victimized gay men in the mid-1960s instead of locking them up or shrugging. Isn't that so interesting?
That's amazing.
I hate to say it'd probably be a bull. this ain't no chicken pussy hanging.
this is a bull tackle body.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'd see you throwing yourself to this cause if you were in that era and came across the right person at the right time.
Right.
And they're like, hey, we're doing this thing. You want in on this? Like,
well, yeah, I'd be really, yeah, if I was a chicken, I'd be really bad because I'd somehow first hook up with them.
You'd fall in love.
Send them to prison.
You'd fall in love every time.
Fuck, yeah, exactly. I'd write them letters.
You send them to prison and then keep up with them.
I have many pen pals.
Yeah.
But so now the gay news item.
Yeah.
Do you know who Gregor Rocky is? I think I've brought up his movies. He did this movie called Doom Generation in the mid-90s.
Uh-huh.
He also did The Living End, which I've described as a Bonnie and Clyde where... they were both, like, HIV-positive punks, and they just, like, go on this, like, fun killing spree.
Wow.
It's super fun. But he had a interview magazine. You know, they all get a celebrity to interview another celebrity.
Yeah.
So they got Richard Linklater, your boy, who you worked with on...
Everybody Wants Some.
Everybody Wants Some.
The spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, sure.
Starring Glenn
however
Powell.
However they needed to get it funded, honey. But... I'm sorry, Brian. That movie was kind of a wash for me.
Of course.
But I love that's on your resume.
Thanks, hon. It launched a lot of my friends' careers.
That's cool. Yeah. Oh, Glenn Powell.
Yeah.
Who's in a really good movie right
Will
now that
Britton,
I'm
He was, Top Gun.
I hear he's like a movie star in this next one that... Anyway.
He's a movie star.
He's a... Yeah, I suppose he's good because of Top Gun.
Yeah.
And he told me he's nice, right? He looks nice.
Yeah. He's good people. Yeah. His family's good people.
Well, so Greg Araki and Richard Linklater were having a conversation, and Greg Araki brought up how there's a lot of queer representation, but there's no fun. Quote, there's fun and there's joy and there's exhilaration the same way of going to a punk rock or new wave show that's missing in the films he did in the
90s. Yeah, I totally agree.
That's missing from films and shows today.
Duh.
Which is what I always talk about with queer content.
It's Candy Crush. It's like every movie, video, TV show, it's Candy Crush.
I know.
It's visual Candy Crush.
Yeah.
And story Candy Crush, you know?
Yeah, I know. I know. I don't know why I thought this would even be a worthwhile headline because you agree with me on this.
Yeah, well, keep going. I'm sure he breaks it down a lot more comprehensively than I could.
Well, he mentions Euphoria because he's like, you know...
he says it's all Candy Crush.
He says... No. He says these films are a fun time as opposed to something like Euphoria, which is the sex and the drugs and the nihilism and all that, but it's miserable. There's no joy. And then Linklater says, there's a bummer veil over everything. It's like, no, you're supposed to be having fun, especially when you're young. What the fuck are you guys doing?
Yeah.
But it's like... But... You know, look at, like, even the tone of our podcast this week, I feel like, is, like, just, I'm tired, I'm sad and shit. And, like, because, and again, we're living in a time where you're exposed to things so immediately online in ways we've never been. But, I mean, how could culture not reflect that? And I know we have to transcend. Maybe that's our job instead of posting on Instagram, is, like, making art that it doesn't even have to be joyful. But that just transcends this, like, weird, like, as he said, nihilist kind of, like, irony-poisoned space that we're living in.
I think there's some people who are starting to do a good job of creating that voice using kind of, like, modern tools and modern voices. It's a process. It takes time to develop a culture and a counterculture, which is an endless cycle in itself, but...
Well, and the counterculture is always co-opted at some point.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, CBGB's a John Barbados store. How sad is that?
Yeah, no, it's always to live long enough to see yourself become the villain. When I was a kid and I saw that movie and I heard that quote, I was like, I don't get that.
And now, I get it now.
Now I'm just like, this
makes
perfect sense.
Look at Diane Feinstein. Great example of that. By the 80s, she was like totally making compromises, then stayed in the throne. I mean, RIP, I guess, but like,
you know. Yeah. Sometimes your time's up, and you need to know what's best.
And right now, our time is up because we're going to a Family Guy experience.
We know what's best. We're not here to overstay our welcome.
Brian tapped into my straight energy by being like, all right, hear me out.
Julian's the only one I would ever take to this. It's like a Family Guy pop-up experience.
And there's like mini golf, and like you go to the... What's the
There's
name
a
of the bar,
the Drunken Clam.
The Drunken Clam.
Yeah, so there's a whole thing, like bunch of things that are there. And so I guess this is a good note to sign off on because Family Guy... It's like, we don't really, like, keep up or watch it now or anything like that. But when we were, like, teenagers and Family Guy was, like, one of the first TV shows I was, like, brought back because the DVD sales were so good.
Mm-hmm.
You and Jose Pablo were very early to the Family Guy craze. We're like, this show's so funny. Like, you got to watch this.
I remember the day it premiered. It was right after this Claymation series that Chris Rock...
The PJs.
Was it called the PJs?
Eddie Murphy. And no joke.
Wait, it was Eddie Murphy?
It was Eddie Murphy.
Huh. Oh, yes.
So also, Larry Wilmore was an executive producer on that.
Wow.
I saw him at Magic Castle, and I was like, Larry, I never knew that you did PJs. And he's like, get
what
the fuck out of here.
What a great thing to tell him. What a great way to get his ear, Brian.
I
was like, what is he going to say?
He was really not. He was like, get the fuck out of here. He's like, you watch the PJs. He's like, that's so out of pocket. He's like, we were so out of pocket. That's some of my favorite stuff I've written and stuff.
I don't think I saw
it. He asked me my name, and he was really nice. It was like a very keep your head up kid conversation.
Oh, good, Brian.
It's at Magic Castle. So I'll always.
Oh, how cool. You have the blessing of Larry Wilmore.
But so I have that. This is a very benevolent way to end the pod, which I'm feeling.
I'm like, what does Larry Wilmore think about Israel?
I'm sure he has the perfect opinion about
it. Totally. He's Larry Wilmore.
But with Family Guy, you and Jose Pablo loved it. I got it that summer, watched it, loved it. My dad, you know, we fucking died laughing. Then when I saw you, every time I would visit you when we were like younger, it was like, oh, I'm so excited to see my cousins, Andre and Julian. But you and I would always have this weird little tiff. You know, there'd always be, like, something that would kind of, like, you know, like kind of not like poison the experience, but it'd be like,
oh, fuck.
No, that's
you're
dramatic.
You're so passive aggressive, Brian. I would never know if we were fighting.
No, it was very obvious when we were like kids. When we were like,
I suppose I don't remember any of that.
But it was probably just like, but that's the thing. You grew up with a brother. It was just like conversation to you.
Right.
Yeah. And
I know some guy at my catering shift was like doing these weird punching gestures to me while I was walking, and I like quickly deflected it with one hand while I was like, that's what you get from growing up in a household with a brother. He's like, like trying to fucking bite your tits like a little puppy. It's like, God damn it. This is a little, like, you don't even notice it. It's like swatting a fly. But anyway, keep going.
So we always, you know, there'd be like one or two little tiffs where I'd be like, oh, it's a shame that that had to happen. And we had such a good, harmonious time and all that stuff. Outside of that, the summer we watched Family Guy together and just like went off. We didn't have a single fight that whole summer.
Wow.
And then the babies were pacified. I know. And also we never really like fought in the same way ever again after that.
Brian, mm-hmm. Wait, yeah. You're springing this on me while we record. That's why we're going to Family Guy
pretty
tonight?
Much. Yeah.
Brian.
That's why in a lot of ways you're the only person I would have taken to this event.
Oh, yeah, Brian, yeah. You do look like Lois and I kind of look like Peter these last few months. Let's do it. Let's go to Quahog, baby.
Lucky there's a Family Guy. All
right. We don't have the rights.
We can't afford it. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly.
From the Guantanamo Bay's podcast, I'm Brian Bogart.
And I'm Julian Goza.
Thank you and good night.
Hasta luego. Great. We gotta go right now. Take a hit of the bong. I'm gonna make